Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of Fangirl Report with me, Emma Heron, your very own certified fangirl. And yeah, we are back. Another weekend, another end of the week conquered. Even though the Sunday scaries are starting to hit, it is what, 4:30 on a Sunday afternoon, which means, yeah, the Sunday scaries are rapidly approaching. It's very frightening. But, you know, we're here, and that's about all we can be doing is be here, okay? So there's a couple of things to address very quickly before we get started, and that is that the quality is very different. We've got a bit of a janky setup going on right now. However, we're just going to move past it, okay? So let me give you the rundown that absolutely nobody is asking for. So Nicholas, boyfriend Nick, is in Florida right now. He just landed this morning, and he is going to be there all week, going to Disney with his mama. And so, because I was so stupid lazy to pre-record an episode at least a day ahead of time, I am resorting to a bit of a backup setup. Because, listen, Nicholas is a gem, and he sets up his really, really good quality photography camera for me with like his fancy tripod and all that good stuff. Like, it's quite the setup. And so I would rather not touch that with a 10-foot pole if I don't have to, especially because I have absolutely no idea how to use it. Like, it's bad. So here we are recording on my iPhone 16 Pro Max in Desert Titanium in cinematic mode to get hopefully a good quality video here. And that's that. I've got a janky little ring light. I've got the natural light coming in through the windows. And that's what we're working with today. So if you like it, that's amazing. If you hate it, I don't want to hear it, okay? This is going to be temporary. Unless, you know what? I have a really good quality camera, so this could become a more regular setup. I don't know. Is it consistent to the other ones? No, it is not. Again, we're moving past it, and that's the way that it is at this very moment in time. So thank you so much for listening to that. So yeah, Nicholas is living his best life in Disney right now. And yeah, so we love that for him, but that's it. So team, what is new? Tell me what is new with you today. What's going on? Yell it out. Raise your hand. I don't care. Tell me what's going on in your life right now. I want to hear it. For me, I was honestly just now thinking about any life updates. I don't really have any for you. So yeah, last weekend, was it last weekend Comic-Con? I think so. Yeah, because it was just St. Patty's Day. It was just National Niall Horan Day to those who celebrate. So that's that. So yeah, last weekend was Comic-Con. This weekend was very uneventful for me, to be honest. Just had a chill day with Nick yesterday, helped him pack and stuff, get things ready for his week in Florida. And I taught a paint class this afternoon. It was super fun. It was a good one. Love that for me. And that's really about it. You guys, though, oh my God. So as you know, I have been kind of going through a health journey, as y'all know, and so that's, I don't know if you can see that, but that is the sound of Mr. Pete tearing up the couch, which, you know what, it's like, it is what it is. Mr. Pete, do you want to come up and join us? Hey, I don't think he's in frame, but just know that he's here and I'm not insane. So anyways, I have been going through my health journey, as y'all know. So I was doing weekly classes when I was doing my free trial of ClassPass. I have since gotten very lazy with the classes since I don't get them for free anymore. Obviously, because I don't want to pay for them, obviously. And so it's really bad because Bestie Jennifer, who I've been kind of doing this health journey with, she has been a superstar and is doing workouts at home every day. Girl, I don't know what it is about a home workout. I just can't get behind a home workout. I don't know why. That just is the way that it is. I can't explain it to you. I I'm the kind of person that needs to like purchase or schedule a class, because then I have like a real legitimate reason to go. Like if I put money into it, then I have to go. You know what I mean? So that's why the classes were working. Oh my God. Were working really well for me, because it was giving me a reason to go. And so when I don't necessarily have to do a workout at home, I'm not gonna. 9 freaking times out of 10, I'm not going to. And that's so bad of me, but like it is what it is. Anyways, though, I've been doing really well with the calorie deficit, been much more mindful about what I'm eating. And so I hardly do any sugar anymore. Like I will have the odd amount of sugar when it comes to like a sweet or like a piece of chocolate and stuff like that, but I have been no pop, I have been no sugar in my coffee, and I feel like it's making a large difference just in my day to day. And so when we were taking pictures at Comic-Con last week, I ended up wearing a lot of the exact same pieces that I did last year for Comic-Con. And so for shits and gigs, I pulled up a picture from tell me why my cats are relaxed and tame when I walk in the door. And the moment I turn on this camera, they're going nutso. So if you see them, we're going to move past it. Anyways, so I pulled up one of the pictures from last year and compared it to this year. Bitch, there's an actual difference. There's actually a real difference. I would put it up, but I just don't. I don't need to have that energy in my life, because then y'all are going to see it and be like, difference where? And I really just don't need that in my life. I will stick to my delusions. I'm going to keep telling myself that there was a difference. What are these cats doing? Hi. This is so ridiculous. Literally, what is he doing? Oh my God, they're so dumb. Anyways. So I'm going to keep telling myself that there's like a real difference, and like I've just been in my skinny era, and I can't wait to be in my skinnier era. It's going to be so slay. I'm so excited. And so that's kind of where I am with that. Oh my God. I just remembered another life update. You guys, I'm going to try so hard to not talk about it too much. But I finished Iron Flame. Oh my God. And I would... Oh my God, I should have... Oh my God. Oh my God, you guys, relax. I know, this is not a drill. You all need to sit down, relax, okay? I finished Iron Flame. I would have it next to me here, but I gave it to my sister because I got her addicted, and she stayed up till 1 a.m. the other night to finish the first book. Because, yeah, obviously. So I finished Iron Flame. It took me... I'm going to admit it to you guys. It took me longer than I wanted it to. There was like a solid 7 days where I didn't even touch it, because it is a hefty book. It is a long book. I was seeing a TikTok where, like, even though this book is like physically smaller than some books, there are a lot of words. I think it's something crazy like 250,000 words in Iron Flame. And so I think it is a little longer than Fourth Wing. Plus Fourth Wing is like the paperback is smaller. It's like physically smaller. And so there was like 7 days where I did not touch it. I was kind of not in a reading slump, but like I just needed a bit of a break, because Iron Flame is a lot, okay? Fourth Wing was definitely an easier read, because like you're kind of getting introduced to the story. You're getting introduced to all the characters, and it's like it moves fairly quickly. Because there's all of these new things that you're obsessing over. You're like, yes, I love these. And you're like getting to know everybody, right? So I feel like it rolls. It just flows very easy. And it's very easy to get into that book. Which is why freaking both me and my sister were like, we could not put it down when we started it. And so Iron Flame, don't get me wrong, I loved every second of it. I was crying. I was laughing. I was screaming, okay? And so, but that one, it was just a lot to get through. It was a lot of words. So I finally finished it. Oh my God. Oh my God. Again, I'm going to try not to spend too much time on it, but oh my God. That was the craziest book I think I've ever read in my entire life. And you guys. And so I've just barely scraped the surface of Onyx Storm, and my coworker Valentina, who got me into this series in the first place, she keeps telling me that I am not ready. And that it's going to destroy me. And I'm not ready. I'm not ready. So I finished Iron Flame. I don't remember what day. It was sometime after Comic-Con. So within the last few days, I finished it. And I literally have not hardly touched Onyx Storm because I'm scared, okay? Not only am I scared, I simply do not want this series to end. I simply do not. And bestie Lindsay also finished the first book. And I love so much. I think I mentioned this last week. I am obsessed with getting like the live text updates from all my friends about it. It is so funny. Plus, it helps me feel like I'm reading it for the first time. But yeah, Iron Flame was crazy. Because especially when you like if you read it right after you finish the first one, you've got all that fresh in your mind. When you read Iron Flame and you start to learn things and you think back to moments in the first book, you're like, it was crazy. And again, I know that I have close people to me that have not finished the second one, so I'm not gonna get into it. But let's just say you guys are not ready. You thought the first one was sad? You're not ready. That shit was crazy, okay? Holy moly. Anyways, so I need a little bit of a break before I get back into Onyx Storm. I'm gonna really have to take that slow because I don't want it to end. And from what I've heard from the book talk girlies, the Onyx Storm ends, like it doesn't quite end. Like you can tell that there's more to come. And I've seen lots of TikToks saying that like Rebecca Yarros does not have any sort of timeline for when the fourth book will be out, which like, girl, all the power to you. You just wrote the three most magnificent books I've ever seen and put my little grubby hands on in my entire life. Take a break, go spend the summer with your family. Yeah, we're good. But yeah, that's what I've been seeing. I've been hearing that the girlies are ready for more. And I'm like, that's crazy. So yeah, I am completely obsessed with Fourth Wing right now. I have so many new boyfriends because if you know me, I have been collecting husbands and boyfriends like they're fucking Pokemon cards. It's unbelievable. Like, of course, when I was freaking 12 or 13, Avengers came out, got all my boyfriends from there. Then from all of the other Marvel movies that came out, all my boyfriends and husbands that I've gotten from there. All my music boyfriends, like there's a very long list. And so now I have a new list of fictional boyfriends to add to the roster. And you guys, let me tell you something. I said I wasn't going to talk too much about it, but I'm going to anyways. And so, yeah. I love Zayden Ryerson so much. I need that man biblically. I need him spiritually. I need him physically, okay? In every way you can need a man, I need Zayden Ryerson. However, that man is omitted from the list of my boyfriends because I love him and Violet so much. There are just some couples that cannot be... What am I trying to say? That cannot be affected because of my list of boyfriends and husbands. So Zayden, I'm leaving him alone. Which is very strong of me, considering how many ways I need him, okay? But in my mind, him and Violet are just so perfect. I can't ruin that. Even though they're not real, and it doesn't matter. But he's not on my list of boyfriends for that reason, because they're just so perfect. But I do have a lot of other boyfriends. Dane, listen, y'all, I know we trashed him a lot in the Fourth Wing episode. I know we did. However, in a non-spoiler way, he came around in Iron Flame. He won me back over in Iron Flame. And from what I've heard in Onyx Storm, he will continue to win me back in Onyx Storm. So I'm very excited. Dane is one of my boyfriends, okay? Because I just saw a clip of Rebecca Yarros on TikTok saying... That is so, okay. I don't know exactly what the clip was, but somebody asked her what her favorite character is. And I think somebody in the audience was like, not Dane. And she's like, stop it. Go wash out your mouth. He's a 21-year-old kid who trusted his dad and told his chronically ill friend to sit the fuck down. I said, stop it. That is so iconic of that. And that's no Iron Flame spoiler whatsoever. But I'm like, yes, I agree with that. And so, oh my God, I have eye goobies. That is so disgusting that I'm doing that right now. I'm so sorry. But Dane is definitely one of my boyfriends. He absolutely came around. And I just love, like, in my head, he's a fine man. He really is. Like, in my head, he's got, like, the dirty brown, kind of messy hair. He's got, like, the stubble. That's a fine man, okay? So he is one of my boyfriends. My favorite Fourth Wing character is Riddick. I love Riddick so much. There is something about a comedic relief gentleman that I can get behind, okay? And Riddick is one of those gentlemen, okay? I love him. And don't get me started on the AI artwork that comes, oh my God. That is one thing, okay, listen. And I'm gonna get into this, actually. It's what I've decided to speak about today. I am so happy to be in my 20s in an age where AI is a thing, because something I'm not that good. My cat is licking the table. Girl, what are you doing? Anyways, when it comes to reading books, listen, I have not picked up a book since probably 2014. I don't even know. Pete, bro, is he in frame? Can y'all see? Pete! Oh my God. And now the camera's gonna do its little shaky thing until it stabilizes. That is so ridiculous. What was I even saying? I don't even know what I was saying. Give me a second. What was I saying? Riddick is... Yes, I remember now. I am so happy, considering I have not picked up a book in 10 plus years, I'm so happy to be kind of revisiting it in the age of AI, because it makes it so much easier to visualize the characters and visualize kind of the scenes and where they are. However, I chose not to look up any of this AI artwork until after I finished the first book, just so that I could try to come formulate my own visualizations of everything in it. But when I did, girl, and I saw that AI fucking artwork of Riddick Gamlin, I said, wow, that is boyfriend. I'm in love with him. Okay. And that just is the way that it is. I'm really sorry about it. And yeah, them AI TikToks are good. They're good. Anyway, so Riddick is 100% my favorite character. Oh my God, he's so hot. It's not even funny. They're all hot. And you know who's really been on my radar recently is Bodhi. Oh my God, hello? Oh my God, and oh my God. This is so ridiculous. Oh my God, I'm 20 minutes in, and here I am saying I wouldn't talk about this too much. But everybody is on the internet saying that, what is his name? Josh Houston, I think. Don't quote me on that. Everybody is fan casting Josh Houston as Zayden. I see Josh Houston as a Bodhi 100%. Because he's a little softer than I would imagine Zayden to be. So if Josh Houston got cast in any sort of scenario, any sort of project regarding a Fourth Wing movie or show, I can get behind him as Bodhi. I can hear my cat pissing in the litter box. This is so ridiculous. Anyways, that is that. I'm going to wrap up my Fourth Wing discussion there, because I will continue to speak about it. And I'm not sorry. Yeah, I am. I am sorry. So that is that. So speaking of AI, AI is crazy. And oh my God, my cats are so stupid. He's fucking digging at the edge. Oh my God. Does anybody else's cat do that? He'll stand there for 5 minutes after he's taken a shit or a piss, and he'll just paw at the edge of it. I don't know what that is. He's been doing it ever since I got him. Anyways, my goodness gracious. So I was at an art class today. I was teaching an art class today. And it just had me thinking about art and like AI in general, and how crazy it is to be an artist in an age where it is so easy to get on any AI generation website, platform, app, whatever it may be, and just create shit in seconds. That is the craziest concept in the world to me. And so it just had me thinking a lot about it. And so I grew up Like, I was probably 10 years old when I started taking art really seriously. And it just, all of this stuff had me reminiscing over my whole journey. And I just thought I thought I could get artsy today. And so when I was 10 years old, I started getting into drawing and, like, well, just kind of art as a whole. And the reason I was getting into it is because, A, it was the very beginning of social media, very beginning. And some of the first content on YouTube that I watched was, like, speed paints and speed drawings, both digital and, like, physical art mediums. And so I was starting to really get into that. And my dad at the time had all of these really old art, like tons of old art materials. Like, he had a whole stack of those Prismacolor markers and Prismacolor pencil crayons, like those really good qualities that like blend out really nice. And he used to dabble in art a lot as well. Like, he had this massive, I think it was a pastel portrait of Mr. T, which is so hilarious, like, of all the people. Anyway, so it had me really getting into it. And so I remember starting, I would get like my teen magazines and like the freaking, what are they even called? Like Tiger Beat or whatever. All of the magazines that used to have One Direction on the cover of them back in the day. And because they would always have those one page little posters that came in them, like almost every single one did. And girls, y'all, girls, gays, theys, whoever's watching right now, I remember so vividly, I went through one of these magazines and I found one of those posters, the little portraits of Selena Gomez. Okay? Follow. Okay? I ripped it out of this magazine. I taped it up onto, I don't know, the wall. Okay? And I sat down in my room and I tried to replicate it and draw it with pencil. That is like one of the very first things that I did when I started getting really serious into art. And it was so funny because I remember bringing it to my mom to show her and she was probably like, wow, that is so good. Like, the freaking thing, it probably was, it was probably that girl who did the picture of her mom, that like the hyperpigmentation drawing, and for the mom, she's like, it's fantastic. I can so imagine that was probably what was going through my mom's head at the time, because I remember bringing it to her and I had drawn the eyebrows backwards, so like the thick part was on the outside. Girl, what was I doing? Oh my god, that's so funny. And so of course my first attempt was horrible. It was just atrocious. Okay, but that's kind of when I decided that I wanted to be able to look at a picture and draw it, okay? And I remember once I inherited, I suppose you could say, my dad's old art supplies, I started with cartoons. So I would go in my sketchbook, I would pick, I think I remember doing one of Pluto, the dog from Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, okay? And I remember doing Stitch and all that good stuff. So I would sketch it out, and so that's how I started practicing looking at an image and copying it down, because obviously it's a lot easier to do than a portrait to start off with, especially because I was getting so frustrated with the portraits and I was like, no, this is ridiculous. I need to start simpler. So somewhere at my mom's house, I've got like a sketchbook full of just cartoons that I replicated, and girl, bitch, I ate that. Girl, I did so good. And that was such a good exercise for me to start getting really good at looking at it and copying it down on a piece of paper. And so that's, which honestly, it opens up a whole new conversation on its own, because something that I struggled with and that I've been struggling with artistically ever since I started getting serious about it is that I didn't and still don't have the creativity to create something on my own. You know what I mean? And because I remember being on Instagram really early days, and I would see these girls creating like these beautiful fantasy portraits and stuff, just making them up from the top of their head. And I, even to this day, that is a skill that I envy so much, because sure, I got really good at copying down something that I see on an image, but for even today, friggin', I could never get a canvas and paint a beautiful landscape on it just from my head. or I can't, like, a lot of people at the time on Instagram when I first got started, they were making what they call original characters, or OCs, if you will. And being able to just come up with a cartoon face just like that was something I envied so badly, because I wanted to be able to do that. And so once I found out that my strength was copying, which kind of sucks, right? Because I am fantastic at looking at a piece, at looking at an image of a face, of a painting, of whatever it is, and I can replicate it perfectly. That is something I've become really good at over the years. And even to this day, like, I envy so bad. Like, that's just a skill that I was never able to master. And I don't remember what it was, but there was a TikTok I saw a long time ago, and it hit me so hard, because, like, that's what I struggled with. And it was like born to create, forced to replicate, or some deep shit like that. And, like, that's what I was, like, restricted to, was copying things down. However, I kind of owned it, right? I kind of owned that skill. I got really good at it. Not to toot my own freaking horn, I got really good at it. So once I got into high school, of course, the first elective I ever took in high school was art, obviously, because I was just an art girly for life. And so I excelled through high school art with flying colors. Guys, I'm telling you, this is gonna sound so cocky, but this is just kind of what my journey looked like. So after I got really good at copying down cartoons, I started Pete, I don't know if you can see him, but he's trying to get on the fucking table again. Stop it. Anyways, I got really good at portraits, okay? So I remember doing one of Niall Horan. I remember doing Zoella. Get down! You're gonna make my camera shake. Stop it. Come here. Get up here. Come here. Get up here. Come in. Come see the people. Stop sniffing my toes and get up here. So yeah, I did Zoella, the YouTube girly from 2014 or whatever it was. I did a lot of YouTubers, but I got really good at doing portraits and copying, not copying, but like freehand, no tracing or anything at all. I got really, really good at, like, facial proportions. I got so good at it. And so once I got into high school, that's a skill that I took with me, and I won, because at the end of every high school year, I don't know if you guys all did this at your schools, but we would do an end of the year award ceremony. And so there would be art awards, music awards, sport awards, all of that good stuff. And so I got there was grade 9 art, grade 10 art, grade 11 art, grade 12 art awards. I got that award every single year I was in high school. That's crazy. And clearly, I guess, not being able to kind of create things on my own did not stop me, because I excelled through high school. And Pete, oh my god. Okay, you guys, the camera's gonna shake, and that just is what it is. We're just gonna have to deal with it. I'm so sorry. And so clearly that wasn't an issue for me, because all my art teachers freaking loved me. And there would be little art shows that we would do, and so my pieces. Okay, this is ridiculous. Pete, get down. He's so annoying. Anyways, and so my teachers freaking loved me. And it wasn't until grade 11 art. Because listen, you guys, I'm still salty about this to this day, okay? So every year in art, I would walk out with like a 95% in the class, which is like a plus. And like, we would do still life drawing exercises. Like, there was one exercise that we did, sketches of popcorn. I got a 4++ on it. Guys, I wish I was joking. I got a 4++ on that assignment. And so I excelled, as I keep freaking saying. In grade 11, I had this bitch ass teacher at Great Lake Secondary School. She was the worst. Okay? She was so uptight. She was so rude. And so we had one project. I don't remember what it was, but we had, I don't know, 20 minutes to go around the school and take pictures on our phones. I don't remember what it was for. I don't remember. I don't know if it was like a little photography unit. I don't know. But we had to go 20 minutes and take pictures around the school of things. Whatever. So, Pete, if you don't leave the table alone, I'm gonna lose it. Anyways, so I think whoever I was with at the time, we got back right at the end of the 20 minutes. Like, we weren't late getting back. Like, we came back at the end. And for some reason, she was so upset with us for getting back at the end of the 20 minutes, and she hated me for the rest of the semester. My cat is gonna drive me insane. It is... This is ridiculous. Anyways, so from that moment on, she did not like me, and I was so mad at, because I left that class, I think, with like an 81 or an 82, which for me was very low, okay? What? This is so dumb! Stop it! No! You're joking! I don't even know if that's gonna be the same freaking angle. He made my phone fall. Whatever, it's just gonna have to work, okay? And my, oh my God, you guys, I'm so upset. Okay, whatever, the ring light is down, and that's just, we're just gonna have to continue. So from that moment on, that art teacher did not like me, and I am so convinced to this day that she was marking me poorly because she didn't like me. Because I walked out of that class with like an 80, which is very low for me, and even the other art teachers noticed that and said, girl, what happened? I said, that fucking bitch happened, okay? I still did walk out with that, with the grade 11 art award that year. Thank you so much. And so anyways, I actually did end up learning a lot through high school that I didn't think I would learn. Like, I did really well with pastels, which is a medium I never thought I was going to get into. And I did really well with that one. And I remember doing a piece where, I don't remember exactly what it's called, but there is a style of art where it's like a forced perspective kind of thing. So it's like when you have a hand out really far, so the hand is really close and then everything else is really far. I remember we did an assignment for that, but it was a self-portrait. And so I did one, because this was in like the heat of Stranger Things madness, okay? So I did a self-portrait of me doing the 11 pose with like blood coming out of my nose and stuff. And that piece did so well. It got put into the art show. They asked me to keep it so they could have it as an example for other classes, which, guys, I don't know about you, but when a teacher asked or like said that they're gonna use your work as examples for future classes, there is no better feeling than that. I'd be feeling like a VIP. So they still have that piece. I think it might be up in the school, I'm not sure. But yeah, so there was a lot of things that I learned from high school that I didn't know going into it, because for a lot of my skill was self-taught. A lot of it was spending years with a sketchbook, a picture of a person that I liked in front of me, and just practicing copying it down. Because I remember one of the units in one of my classes was for portraits and was for facial, like learning the proportions. And the way that they were teaching it, I was not following that whatsoever, just because I already had such a good understanding on the face. And yeah, and I remember we had to do celebrity portraits, and I did Tyler Oakley. I did Tyler Oakley, and yeah, it got into the art show. Yes, it did. And that is that. And so the one thing that I really struggled with in high school was painting. That shit was so hard. I don't know why. I just couldn't get a good handle on it. So after high school, there was, because there's the yearly award things, and then in the summertime they do a really big awards night for all of the graduates and stuff. And so my last awards night, I got so many art awards that had money with them. Girl, what? And so yeah, and it really was kind of sad, because it really was something that I wanted to pursue in post-secondary school, but I knew, and I knew for a long time, that visual arts and drawing is not gonna pay my bills. So I did decide that very early. That's why I kind of went into marketing. And in high school, grade 11 marketing class is what made me decide I wanted to do that in college. So I still do. And that's why my art classes that I've been teaching part-time, like, I am so happy that started, because painting, again, has always been a really big weakness for me. And so it wasn't until COVID that I got super into painting, because what the fuck else was I gonna do? And so I remember this was the time that season 12 of Drag Race was viral on the internet. Everybody was raving about the season, including me and my sister. That season was so good. And so one thing that I decided to do to kind of challenge myself when it came to portraits and painting was to paint drag queens, because they have such... Oh, hold on. Give me 2 seconds, you guys. Hold on. I'm so sorry, guys. So I have an automatic feeder for the cats, and since I locked Pete in my bedroom, it just went off, and I'm like, oh my god, he's gonna be so upset if his sister eats all of the food. So if you hear munching in the background, that's the cats. This is the noisiest, most chaotic episode in the whole wide world. Anyways, holy moly. So I don't even remember what I was saying. Right. So I started painting drag queens, and that actually was a really great way to improve my painting skills. And I was using oil paint at the time, and I would literally go to Michael's and go get curbside pickups of oil paint and canvases and all of this stuff. And I painted so many drag queens. I painted so many. And it actually was such a great exercise for me, because now I have a much better understanding on paint, on both acrylic and oil. And it was a great outlet for me because it was keeping me busy. And girl, I was at the point where I was busting out entire oil paint portraits in a day or two. It was getting insane. And so yeah, that is something I spent a lot of time doing, which I'm really glad that I did, because again, like, it's something that I was able to take with me now, and now I'm actually making money off of doing paint classes, which is so much fun. Which the paint classes takes me back to the not being able to create but being able to replicate, right? Because I think I've talked about this a little bit before. How my paint classes work is, since it's through paint night, there's like a gallery of pieces that you can put up and promote as a class or whatever. And so the girl that I do it for, she'll kind of just choose whatever's popular, and I have to recreate it and then teach it, which is such a shame that it's not something I'm able to kind of come up with. Like, it's never an original of mine, which kind of sucks. But it is so perfect with my strengths that I am able to look at it. I can literally look at it, come up with my own way of doing it, and then I can teach it, which is, it really is, it's a cool thing to do. And again, it worked out absolutely perfectly with kind of what I'm able to do, what I'm capable of. And yeah. So that's that. Oh my god, I forgot a whole era. So I would say after, this was probably after the oil paint drag queen painting era. So this was still during COVID, but when the world was kind of starting to open up a little bit more, I got an iPad and Apple Pencil. And bitch, I started getting into digital portraits on Procreate. And bitch, I got good at that too. I got really good at that. And if you want to see it, if you want to see any of them, my Instagram, just a shameless little plug here. My Instagram is Emma's Vision. I think it's just Emma's Vision Art on Instagram, all one username. And so if you're curious to see any of my portraits there, you can go take a look. So yeah, I got really good at doing that. So I was in that era. And again, like during COVID, when I was just starting to get back to work at that point, but I still had a lot of free time, I would be busting out entire portraits in like a day. It was insane. And yeah, so that was crazy. And it just goes to show, like, art has something that's never been not part of my life. You know what I'm saying? And so it's not necessarily something that I talk about frequently, and it's not something that I really put out into, like, I used to put it out into the world a lot, but now it's not something that I really promote about myself. But it really is, it's a really big part of my life. And so it's funny that I've been getting into Fourth Wing, obviously, and the AI art is crazy. And of course, I would support a real life artist any day. Of course I would, because AI coming for the art is a wild thing. Like, and so I've seen a lot of people that are like, they're making it their goal to flood kind of the algorithm with real, they're like, their real art interpretations of the characters of Fourth Wing to kind of flood out all of these AI bullshit things. It's insane. And so just to think that everything that I have done over the last, God, I started when I was 10. So almost 15 years that I've been taking this seriously, how much of it can be replicated in an instant with AI is the craziest thing. And you can go on freaking ChatGPT, tell them, hey, give me an artistic rendition of Starry Night by Vincent van Gogh. And it'll just spit it out like that. That is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. And so it just had me like, it's so funny. Like the AI art from Fourth Wing plus my art class today, the art classes that I've been doing, it's just had me down like this rabbit hole of like how long I've spent perfecting my art form, my medium, just to see AI coming and kind of taking over. It is a really crazy thing. And it's very interesting to think about. Like, yeah, it's just, it's very interesting. I don't really have any more smart things to say about it, but it's just a really crazy thing to think about. And like I've noticed, which is very relevant to me because I have a bachelor's degree in creative advertising, it is crazy to see the amount of like generative AI that is being used in ads today. It is crazy. Like, y'all remember when Coca-Cola released that commercial and it was an entire commercial that was just generative AI. And the world went ballistic over that, which I don't blame them, because it just, as amazing tool that AI can be, it is the most unauthentic medium I've ever seen. Like, I feel like Coca-Cola has been, like, their vibe of advertising has always been very authentic to them. It's been very familiar to people, like, and very, I don't know. Like, what's the Coca-Cola tagline? It's like, choose happiness or some shit like that. Or it's something stupid like that. And then they turn around and do an entire AI commercial, which, by the way, takes away so many jobs. It's crazy. Anyways, I think AI can be an amazing tool. But to see huge corporations kind of cheaping out with and like going so far from what we have known as kind of media and advertising for so many years to just go completely against that with AI, it's crazy. Do I think we need to get used to it? Absolutely. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of it as AI gets even better. And one more little tangent that I think is so interesting is how harmful AI actually is to the environment. I recently learned that like every really like a large website or large kind of internet thingy is run by servers, like those physical, like you see in like hacker movies, like actual like tall servers that have a billion wires going into them. That's how they're maintained, right? So every time that you see that you send a message to ChatGPT, it goes to those servers, and because it takes so much power to even generate one ChatGPT message, it makes the servers hot. Okay. And so one thing that servers are equipped with, I believe it's like hoses of cool water that run through them to keep them cool, right? And so if you go to ChatGPT and say, hey, make me my grocery list for the next month, that shit actually takes a toll on the environment, because one message heats up those servers so much, which means they have to like they use extra energy to be cooling them down. And it's like actually crazy to think about. Like, think about how many messages ChatGPT is spitting out right now and how that is affecting the servers, how that's affecting the power that's going into them. It's a crazy thing to think about. Don't even get me started on the wires in the ocean. Don't even get me started. Anyways, that is my ramble about art and about AI and kind of my history with art. And it's just crazy. One last thing, completely unrelated to what I was discussing. I just wanted to show you guys my laptop stickers. I'll have to show you my iPad stickers too, because they're so funny. So these are almost all of them are stickers that I just got from Comic-Con. So I've got the brat with cats, and I've got Bo. He's my favorite Animal Crossing villager. We'll have to do an Animal Crossing episode at some point. Pink Pony Club, obviously. And then Nick got this from his work for me. I fucking love it. Anyways, that's about it for me. That was a crazy episode, you guys. That was insane. Yeah. Okay, anyways, you guys. Thank you so much for joining me today. I had such a wonderful time speaking to you. I'm so sorry about this change in whatever this setup is. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I hope you have a great week coming up. And let me know what y'all are fangirling about. Can't wait to hear about it. And that's that. I love y'all, and I will talk to y'all later. Bye-bye.